we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When the world around you is falling apart, what are you to do? The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Will Look to the Lord, a teaching through the books of Micah and Nahum. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
When you got up this morning, I am sure that you put your armor on this morning. Right? You all got up this morning and you said, Lord, I put on the whole armor of God. I have it all put on. Well, let me tell you about the armor of God that we talk about every time that you have put on Jesus. Jesus is our salvation, the helmet of salvation. And there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Christ Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. Jesus is our righteousness. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus is our faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. And Jesus is our sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And Jesus is the good news, having our feet shod with the good news of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And of course, you know that, John 3:16. And so in looking at all of that, what we're saying is an illustration. When we talk about putting on the whole armor, we're talking about something that is tangible to us. And what we're doing is we're putting on Jesus. We're just putting on Jesus. But we think of Jesus being this helmet of salvation. We think of Jesus being the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is our sword of the Spirit. Jesus is our shield of faith. Jesus is our belt of truth. Jesus is having our feet shod with the good news of the gospel. And so with all of that, knowing that we have all of this in our hearts, as you already have that down. So in other words, we're putting on Jesus. Are you trusting him to lead you? Or have you set your mind on him? Are you dealing with stress in your life? What was the stress that we got last week? We talked about how to deal with stress. Is seek God's guidance. Trust what he tells you to do. Remember past victories. Exalt God above the problem. Solicit the prayers and support of others. And stand on the promises of God. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are amongst us, that your Holy Spirit has been poured upon out on us, Lord, that we are soaking up your goodness and your grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have gone before us. Thank you that you've told us all these things beforehand so that when they come upon us, we're not taken by them. Thank you, Lord, that you have opened up our eyes to see the things that you're doing. And Lord, that you haven't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, disciplined mind. So we thank you, Lord, for this study. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that every word spoken would be yours and yours alone. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a little treat for you. How many of you have memorized your verse? Okay, lots of you. Okay, Linda, where are you? Linda is going to help you memorize your verse. Okay.
Okay, here we go. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts 1:8. Boom, boom.
There you go. Oh, again? Okay. Okay.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Acts 1:8, boom, boom.
There you go.
You know what? She might be a regular installment for Ladies Bible Study. Because that is, what a great way to memorize the Word of God. And I, you know, yeah, that's a good way to do it. So, you all have it down now. You're going to walk out of here singing that song, all of the words. You will know it. And so, we are living in times of spiritual warfare. We are living in times when discernment is one of the most important things that we need to have, spiritual discernment. What is spiritual discernment? Spiritual discernment is a decision-making process in which an individual makes a discovery that can lead to future action. In the process of spiritual discernment, God guides the individual to help them arrive at the best decision. That is the sword of the Spirit that works in our lives. It's a word of the Word of God. It's a Word of God that's given to us. And the simplest definition that was actually given by John MacArthur is that discernment is nothing more than the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. In other words, the ability to think with discernment is synonymous with an ability to think biblically or scripturally. So we have that spiritual discernment. We know the Spirit tells us the direction that we should go. When we see something happening, we are aware of what the truth is and what is error. We are living in days of very many false prophets. We are living in days when there are a lot of things being said and a lot of things being done, and we really need that gift of discernment. And the gift of discernment, in my thinking, it's a bit like the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge is a gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of knowledge is knowing things without there being any way of knowing them other than God would tell you. And so discernment is like that. It's knowing things without knowing things that you wouldn't know any other way. Like you look at someone and you just go, oh, I know something's going on there, and the Lord's telling you something's going on there. You don't know the whole story, but it is a gift of knowledge that you can do that, and we really need that today. We need to be spiritually awake. We need to be spiritually aware. We need to keep our heart attentive to the Lord and listen when He speaks. And why do we need a gift of discernment? Because we are living in the last of the last days. I don't know if that's a surprise to very many of you, but we are living in the last of the last days. Jesus Christ is coming back for His church, and I want to be ready when He comes. I want to be aware of His coming. He said He's coming for those who love His appearing. For those who are just really ready to get out of here, but for those who love His appearing. You love his appearing. You are looking toward your marriage, supper of the Lamb, your husband that you love. You are looking toward Jesus in that way. I can't wait to be with him because I love him so much. I can't wait to see him because I love him so much. Why do we feel that way? Matthew 24:4, Jesus is speaking and he says, take heed that no one deceives you, because there'll be many false prophets. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. I love that. See that you are not troubled. Thou shalt not sweat it. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now I'm worried. They're going to deliver me up. They're going to kill me. And my problem is what? I get to see Jesus sooner. So don't let that be something that scares you. He said, I told you these things beforehand. We're not all going to die that way, but some of us might. Who knows? And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. We don't have that going on. I'm so glad to hear that. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. That's Matthew 24, starting with verse 4. But Luke 21:28 says, when these things begin to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Remember that little vision of the Lord just holding you with his hands on either side of your face? Can you picture him now just going, lift up your head. Lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. It's almost over, ladies. It's almost over. God has great things planned for us. I know you've heard this story before, but there was a woman in her late 90s, especially if you've been to one of our retreats, you heard this story for sure. And she'd been diagnosed with cancer, and so she got together with her pastor to finalize all the funeral things and put everything in order. Like that. And so when she contacted him, she made it clear that what songs she wants sung, what scriptures she wants used, what she wants to be buried in as far as clothing. And she wants to hold her her Bible that she loved, her special Bible. Although I don't know why anybody wants to be buried with their Bible. Honestly, because then I don't need it. But someone out here, outside of that casket, needs what I have written in that Bible. So make sure you write in your Bible. Make sure that you leave something behind that somebody else can easily pick up and take advantage of. Anyway, she wants to be buried with her Bible. And oh, one more thing, she said, it's very important. I want to be buried with a fork in my hand. And the pastor looks at her. Okay, fork, got it, okay. Why? Well, you know, when you go to a dinner or you're having at one of the socials at church or whatever, when you go there and they're clearing the plates and they say, keep your fork. That means something of substance is happening. Something of substance is coming. You're not going to have Jell-O or pudding. You're going to have cake or pie. And then she said, I want you to let them know that the best is yet to come. That's what we need to be looking at right now. The best is yet to come. All of this, as good as it gets, All of this is as best as it can be here, but the best is yet to come. And so we are to, so no fretting is allowed. Psalm 37 says three times, fret not, fret not, fret not. It says in verse 3 of Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he's going to give you the desires of your heart. Well, he's not meeting my desires of my heart right now. Are you delighting yourself in the Lord? Are your desires, have your desires become his desires? Or have your desires become his desires? Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So fret not, fret not, fret not. There are a lot of things going on that we could be worried about right now. A few things. I don't know, if I thought about it for a second, I could probably come up with 40. But plenty of things for us to worry about. We're living in the last of the last days, and it's coming is nearer than the day when we first believed. And so we want to be ready. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, maybe you're a little bit frightened over this whole idea of what's coming to pass. You've been watching the news, and maybe you are in a place where you're just like, I don't know, well, I don't know. But if they do that, and that happens, and if that happens, and then they do that, and I don't know. Oh, but, and then they did this, and oh, what am I? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Isaiah 43:2. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Fret not, because God's got this. I was listening to J. Vernon McGee on Sunday, and what he was talking about, I couldn't tell you what book he was in, actually. I know he was not in the book of Micah. And as I'm listening to him talk, he's saying things like, too many... Now, I won't do the Southern accent. Too many people today are listening to the government and the politicians and trusting the science. That's what he said. Those were his words, and trusting the science. Too many of us are depending on the government for everything, thinking that they have all the answers. He said, why are you trying to update the gospel? Nothing's changed. Man is still in need of salvation. McGee was speaking about things in the 60s and 70s. He passed away in 1988. And everything that I've listened to in preparation for this, everything that I read, was saying basically the same stuff. And it was going on right then, which gives me indication that what we're going through right now is even closer. Because it's more. I remember the 60s. I remember the riots of the 60s. I remember the things that went on in those times. I was so young, but, you know, but I can recall. Yeah, that's a lie, I'll believe, that I'm still young. My head says I'm young. My body said, oh, honey, please. They're all, I listened to John Corson, I listened to McGee, I listened to some guys that you probably have never ever heard their names before, and everything that I read, everything that I heard, all were saying basically the same thing, and all of them were from the past. Which gives us indication, as I said, that right now, where we're at right now, is moving right in to the very last of the last days. And we're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his church. And so, everyone, yeah, nothing has changed. Well, some things are definitely worse, but they certainly took a turn for the people in chapter 3. And so a little overview of chapter 3 in the book of Micah could be, just looking at it, could be overwhelming on its own. But in verses 1 through 4, the rulers of the house of Israel are condemned for their injustice, unrighteousness, and covetousness. By the way, I'm going to go quickly through this, but I will come back, okay? They treated the poor poorly. They hated good and loved evil. Instead of being shepherds of sheep, as rulers are meant to be, there are politicians who are like wolves, turning the sheep into meat for the pot and the flesh for the cauldron. By what they did, they were opposite of David, who was a shepherd and came to shepherd a nation. And that indication of David is in 1 Samuel 17 and 2 Samuel 5 and 7. Now, in verses 5 through 7, the false prophets would chant peace to those who paid them well and predict war to those who would not pay. Therefore, God would withhold from them the knowledge of his will. They would receive no answer from God. They would receive no answer from God. Verses 8 through 12, Micah is empowered by the Spirit of the Lord to declare God's message to Israel and to Judah. And the mercenary rulers, priests, and prophets thought that they were safe. But Micah announced that Jerusalem would be reduced to heaps of rubble. There's the overview. Okay, got it. Let's move on. Can we go to chapter 4? Can we just put this one aside and not pay any attention to it? You know why we're paying attention to it? Because God said, I've told you these things beforehand, so that when they come upon you, you are not taken by them. If you find yourself in a place like this, or you are using your discernment and you find yourself under someone like this, these people, you will know what to do. You will know what to do because God's told you in advance. And so we look to the scripture right here, and it says, and I said, Micah is saying, hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Justice, as if you have the New King James Version, isn't it? Don't you deserve judgment, is what he's saying. Don't you realize that you deserve judgment? Ezekiel 22:27. And you can practice turning to it in your Bible if you want. 22:27. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gains. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. They were saying things that God had not spoken. They were telling lies to the people. They were not listening to the Lord. Verse 2, you hate good and you love evil. You hate good and you love evil. We are to love good and hate evil. Yet the rulers, the one who were the leaders, love evil and hate good. When you look at the news today, and you hear the things that we have held tight to for so many years in morality's area, and then we find we are the ones that are spoken of as being evil. We are the ones that we are being looked at as the, oh, they just can't get it together. Evil rather than good. Isaiah 5. Do you already have that in your homework, by the way? Isaiah 5? You did? Was that a yes? Yes. Okay, so you already know what it says then. Okay. So you went to Isaiah 5. You hate good and love evil. Who stripped the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones? Who also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones, and chop them in pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. How many of you just went, oh, I can't read anymore. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Blah, 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 blah. Please don't tell me anymore. He's talking about the poor being treated poorly, stripping everything that they absolutely have, taking them down to bare bones, even breaking the bones of their life, breaking the backs, as it were, with the taxes and the things that were consumed from the poor and even and going to the rich. So they're taking advantage of the people. A leader ought not to do that, because God does not have nice things to say about people that do that to other people. And he said in the very first part, is it not for you to know judgment? Look at what you're doing. This is what we're talking about. Verse 4, then they will cry to the Lord, and he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, because they have been evil in their deeds. Jeremiah 11:11. Was that also in your homework? Yes, okay. I'm listening to So you already know. I don't even have to go over it again. Thus says the Lord, verse 5, concerning the false prophets. Thus says the Lord concerning the false prophets. He's not talking about the true prophets. He's talking about the false prophets who make my people stray, who make my people stray, who lead my people astray, who chant peace while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against God. False prophets prepare war against God. Oh, I saw a little shudder over here. Think about that. They prepared war against God. What? No, he didn't. Mm-mm. Oh, honey, you are in big trouble now. They lead my people astray. God does not deal kindly with those who lead his people astray. All of us deal for our own sins, with our own sins. If we are the ones who have committed the sin, I'm responsible for the sin that I've committed. But if somebody else led me in that way, they carry the responsibility of my going that direction. And so it's heavier on them. The judgment is heavier on them. And he's telling them, the lights are about to go out. Who puts nothing into their mouths? And that was Ezekiel 13:10, 16, and 19, which is probably also in your homework. Therefore, you shall have night without vision. You're going to lose your sight. You have closed your eyes for so long. You have lived in the darkness for so long that you're going to completely lose your sight. You won't even be able to see. And you shall have darkness without divination. You are not going to hear from me. I got nothing to say to you, God says. I've got nothing to say to you, leaders who try to lead people astray. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them. Isaiah 8:20-22. So the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners confused or abashed. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, and there is no answer from God. When they realize what's going on, can you see them? What have I done? Oh no, what have I done? And it's too late. It's too late. Can they call out to God? They can call out to God. But without repentance, there is no forgiveness of sins. So yes, they can call out to God. But unless they repent, there's no response. He said it right here. For there is no answer from God. But truly, I am, verse 8, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and in might. Why am I full of the Spirit? Why do I have you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power to be my witnesses. Power to be my witnesses. That's what we need to be doing, being his witnesses. And he gave him the power to be his witness to these people, to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Micah standing before men and saying this to them? Men who are leaders, men who are well-to-do, men who are people, I should say people, that are, because we know that the men don't bear all of the burden of sin, do they? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, every one of us. And there are some women that I have heard that have led other women so far away from the cross that it breaks my heart. We are responsible for where we lead people. And all of us are leading somebody. All of us are leading somebody somewhere. So let's lead them to Christ. And so he gave them the power to speak to them. Verse 9, now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who built up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity, building your houses with blood money, so to speak, taking away so much from the poor and building their own houses. Blood money was used for it, referring to what they had taken from the people, leaving them destitute. Verse 11, her heads judge for a bride, not for a bride, not at all. Her heads judge for a bribe. Just pay me enough. Oh, anybody can be bought. I hear that more and more lately. Everybody has a price. Do you have a price? Is there anything that is more important to you than living a life that brings glory to God? Is there anything else that takes over all of your consciousness? If there is, deal with it. Her heads judge for a bribe for money. Her priests teach for pay. I know Pastor Bill, at least he said it on Saturday night. I don't know if he said it on Sunday, but he talked of a man who was going to come and speak for us. And his first question was, how much will you pay? How much will you pay? If that's your first question, you fit into this scripture here. Her priests teach for pay. And her prophets divine for money. I'll give you good news if you pay me, and if you don't pay me, I'll give you bad news. Sounds like the politicians of today, people who will give a pledge for a politician saying they'll vote for them. And then the time comes for payment, and it's a sad day. The city's going to be destroyed because of their actions. And there is a lot of barrenness there today, still today. Lots more houses and stuff, but yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. Remember we talked last week? Yeah, you're telling me this, but do you know who I am? This is not going to come on me. Do you know my name? Nope, but I know God's name better. And they thought, if I just get saved, I'm fine. Let's put it with the day today. People will say, if I got saved, I went up forward, I said the prayer, and now I'm living my life however I want to live my life. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Okay, fine. There is no guarantee, ladies, on something like that. And again, I know we talked about it last week. Once saved, always saved, unless you fall away. I don't know where that stands, but I know if there's a chance that I can fall away and not get into heaven, not get to see my Lord, not get to live with him forever. If there's a chance, I'm going to abide in him. I'm going to stay close to him. I'm going to stay near to him. Not going to open up the doors for anything else. I'm going to stay close to him because I don't know for sure. If you know for sure and you want to chance it that you can live your life however you want to, although all of Scripture says otherwise, if you want to believe that, I've got to challenge it first of all, but if you are destined to believe that, or just you're so stubborn that you're going to believe that, that you can live your life any way you want, and God still has to take you. Yeah, sounds funny when you put it that way, doesn't it? Makes no sense when you put it that way. Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. And all of that barrenness. So what do we do with what we just talked about? What do we do with what we know now? Right now, today, I want to remind you to know who you are. You are a daughter of the King. You belong to Jesus. You belong to Him. Do not forget your heritage. Do not forget who you belong to. Live for God. Set aside your pride, of which none of you have any of that. Me neither. Yeah. Set aside pride. Be done with sin. It's just a little sin. Nobody knows about it. Be done with it. Be done with it. God knows about it. You think nobody else knows about it? Oh, God knows about it. We can't fool Him. We can't cover it up. We can't explain it to Him. God says, deal with your sin. How do we deal with the sin? If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must repent. We must ask for forgiveness. It's the only way to deal with sin. Deal with it and be over it and move on. Love mercy. The judgment is what is the cost of idol worship. Judgment is the cost of idol worship. They sought to remove, we have sought. They did, and we have. We sought to remove God from the schools. We sought to remove God from games. We sought to remove God from meetings. We sought to remove God from everything, just like today. And you know, up in, they lead people astray, back in 5, just reminded me of this, in verse 5 when it says, you lead my people astray, my mind went to the reverend that prayed and ended his, whatever that was, he called it a prayer, with amen and a woman. It showed everybody that he had no idea who God is. But there were people who follow him. And that is scary. That there are people that follow him and want what he has. He does not have eternal life to offer. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. So we need to take it seriously. We need to remember to take it seriously. Teach your children well. Teach your children well. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them why they love the Lord. Teach them how to love the Lord. Teach them how to read their Bible. Teach them memory verses. Teach them why they believe what they believe so that your children know why they believe what they believe. It's not enough for you to know why you believe what you believe. You're set. They need to make a decision on their own. And so God help us to be serious. I read a story of a young man who got involved just a couple of days ago. He had gotten involved in the Robin Hood investing thing, which I don't understand. I understand very little of that, but just bear with me on this. So he was a young man. He had been home from college because of the pandemic. He was a person who was a giver. He wanted to use his money wisely. He had $2,500, I think, that he began his investing with. And he told his parents that he wanted to share whatever he got from that. He wanted to be able to support this, and he wanted to be able to support that. And so he worked at it, but he was new. He was young. And Robin Hood mistakenly sent him information that he owed $750,000. And it would be needed, it needed to be paid in several days. He panicked. He tried to find help. He tried to get connected with them. He got recorded messages of, we'll get back to you as soon as we can. He kept trying. He kept trying to get help. He kept trying to get help. And it wasn't until the day that he committed suicide, because he thought there was no hope, no way out, no other way out. That was the day that Robin Hood, that he got the message on his phone or on his computer that came through that he was not responsible for the money and that all was fine. You see, he had misinformation. He had been led astray. Now, that's not a put down of Robin Hood. I don't know Robin Hood enough to try to put him down. But that's the illustration of someone who doesn't know where they're going and can't trust their leader. He had given up, and he thought he was responsible for something that he wasn't responsible for. I am no longer responsible for my sins once I've confessed them. Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive my sins and to forgive your sins. Let's be people who recognize the seriousness of the day we live in and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people as we can, as often as we can, wherever we can, whenever we can, with whomever we can. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Trust him. Confess any sin and keep moving forward for the prize of the high calling of God. It won't be long. We'll be going home. Let's take as many people as we can along with us. And let's not wait to reach down at the rapture to grab somebody up. Let's do it now. Let's do it today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean onto your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and allow him to direct your paths, because God is good and God has got you and God has got this. And our country, with all of the things that are going on in our country, with all of the things that are going on in the world, God has got this. And yes, there are going to be tough times coming. And yes, there are tougher times than we've probably been through in a very long time, or maybe even never before have we been through some of the stuff. But no matter what we go through, we don't go through it alone. God's got this. God's got this. Trust him. Trust him. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you can be trusted. I thank you that we have in you a peace, not a false peace. You don't tell us of something, some kind of peace that's not real. You don't give us a phony peace. You don't give us a peace that can't be trusted. You give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, that keeps our hearts and our minds in you, Christ Jesus. So, Father, I pray for all of us that our hearts and minds would be in you, Christ Jesus, that we would set aside any of those things, any of those weights that so easily beset us. Lord, that we would set our eyes on you, Lord, that we would have dove's eyes that only sees what's right in front of them, and our eyes would never be taken off of you. Lord, that we would, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, Lord. Keep us in your word. Help us, Lord, to be strong women who trust you, who know that you have shown us the way. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And we look to your soon coming, Lord. We praise you, we honor you, and we give glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Jesus!
for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. Walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping up.